It's a mistake to think that you come here to get something. There's nothing to be acquired in this practice. It's much more about subtraction. Every time you leave this room, in a sense, there should be less of you. Something of you should be left behind. I don't mean this in an absolute literal sense. But I do mean it in this way. This is an hour of sitting in which you let go of who you are and who you think you are. You let go of what you were and what you want to be. You let go of the frustration and the pain and the suffering. You let go of the ambition, the desire, the hopeful outcome. You just let go of everything. For the process of the sitting, you experience what it means to be unencumbered. And the more successful you are at just stepping outside of all of your acquired knowledge and habits, expectations, the more you can just lay all that down, what you discover is the absolute comfort and bliss and simplicity of being nothing. It's so opposite everything we experience in growing up, because everything appears to be about acquisition, becoming something, someone. So much of our striving is for identity. So much of identity is about what you have, what you are, who you are, and how that becomes defined is in a sense the story of your life. You are defined by the things that you appear to manifest, your attitude, your intelligence, your skill set, your talent. And the first part of your life is discovery. What is all that? Am I good at baseball? Am I a good reader? Am I a nice person? Do I hate people? Do I love people? All of these things become these definitions, and you begin to acquire an identity or a sense of self. And you begin to feel relatively safe within that identity. Not completely safe, because this identity is shifting. And because some of these things you acquire suddenly are not appealing to other people who may judge you for your lack of skill, talent, personality, look, vitality. Or they may embrace you for it, and then you want to hold on to the very thing that gets affirmation and love and support and makes you safe. And you're very fearful of losing those things, because then you won't be safe. The miracle of meditation, really, is that you sit still for an hour and you sort of let go of all of that stuff. And what you really feel is safe. Because there's nothing to lose and there's nothing to gain. You just feel where you belong. You feel real. You feel total. There's a deep relaxation of the need to get or fear of losing. You just are. And if your mind is not active and not trying to build or sustain or in some way interact with your past sensibilities and your projections of where you're going to go, if you just relax that, being simply here is everything you want, truly everything. But what happens for most people is that this creation of a self is so fundamental, so powerful, so much the driving force of your existence, that sitting still is ultimately a threat. Letting it go is a threat. And so the idea of meditation, rather than being a desirable state of being, is for many people the worst thing that could happen. I've talked to people who said the idea of sitting still produces terror. Turning off the TV, the radio, the iPod, whatever it is that keeps you stimulated, is really difficult. God forbid you should be in the car with no stimulus, or sit around the house without turning something on. The biggest problem in this mind and identity is how much it wants to reign supreme. And it creates all of these strategies to make sure that you don't let it go. One of the biggest strategies of the mind is to inflate itself, its presence, which is called, in a way, inflated ego, or to deflate it. One way or the other, that is the biggest way to manipulate you. And so when your ego and mind are most threatened, it will announce itself the most dramatically. You all have been through this. Your mind tells you, boy, you look good today, you're on top of it, you're in great shape, this is great, you're wonderful. And you've also been, you idiot, you can't do anything right, what's wrong with you, I don't believe you can get this, this is terrible, you're a failure, it goes on and on. And people listen to that, and they listen to it all day long. One way or another, there is an ongoing running commentary in your mind about you. Totally and endlessly preoccupied with you. It can even get so strong, this running commentary, it can become so judgmental that it actually can suggest that you destroy yourself. That's intense. This thing, which is totally dependent on you, would rather you destroy yourself than not let it be a primary form of your identity. I actually had a friend who committed suicide, and he came back in a spiritual sense to his girlfriend, and he said he had no idea that in killing himself he was going to die. The mind, in its most outrageous sickness, contemplates its own destruction. I've been around people who are suicidal, and they have no clarity of vision. Something falls apart in their life, somebody leaves them, life looks absolutely bleak and awful, and what they decide at that point is it's not worth living. And the best response I've ever heard to that is that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. The great gift of meditation is that it takes you out of the primacy of mind and brings you back into the clarity of detachment. It takes you out of time and brings you into the infinite. It gives you space so that when you get to a place of real darkness in yourself and real struggle and real pain, and they do come, you can take this moment and sit down and just let that go. Just let that go, and what you discover is freedom from that. You discover freedom from all of your preoccupations and your suppositions and your dramas. You discover freedom from all of the pain and suffering. You may not discover it completely, because what happens is, when you're done meditating, it reconstitutes itself. But at least you know that there is this place of spaciousness within you that is not bound by your mind, that is not bound by your fear or sense of failure and doubt, that is not inflated in some awful way, thinking you're the best thing that ever happened on the planet. It's just real. You just find yourself in this place of stillness where none of that matters. When you come to a meditation class like this, and you sit still in this pool of stillness, which is what is created here, and this stuff starts to break down, you can actually leave some of that broken down ego behind. You can actually walk out of this space not having to reconstitute the madness of your mind. You have unwoven part of the tapestry, and you can let some of those threads dissolve. And if you do that regularly, you start to find that this tenacious hold of ego is relaxed sufficiently that you can begin to unravel and unknot it. And you can actually come to a place like this and start the process of freeing yourself of its hold on you. You will begin to feel more and more liberated, less and less part of the sickness of your own mind. And trust me, the mind is in most cases relatively sick. It's not always that way. What happens, honestly, as you grow spiritually and the mind begins to find its true perspective, you begin to know that the mind is your tool. You are not the tool of the mind or the victim of the mind. You start to be able to use the mind as a servant, and the mind begins to become a real aid in your life. But if your mind is manipulating you and causing you grief and suffering, you really need to find the mechanism to be still, to surrender, to open, and to let go of it. If you come to a class like this and you sit down and the mind is in full fury, do your double breath. Take the double breath and ask with unbelievable desire for help to surrender, to let go of that noise. Fight the battle, if it's a battle, to let it go. Do what you have to do to unattach from that vicious cycle of mindful thinking. But if you arrive here in a state of calmness, general well-being, sit down and just luxuriate, if you will, in your own self. Just be. As I've said in other talks, when I sit with you, I can feel the threads of your mind in many ways, because they become part of my own sensation. And I can really feel the knot. And you all know that when there's a knot and you're frustrated and you try to untie it, you make it worse. But when you relax, it unravels so gently. You go, done. And for some reason, that's something that occurs in many cases, in almost all cases, sitting in this class. There's a lot of untying and unraveling and loosening and freeing of these deep mind tensions that lock you up. Often, when you sit down to meditate, there will be just enough mind to make you feel like you're connected to your ego self, but that you're not burdened by it. It's an extraordinary space to actually enter into, because one of the things you discover at that moment is that ego is also part of you. It's not really an enemy. It's not really something to be crushed or destroyed. Ego is to be allowed as part of the fullness of the structure of your being. So when you start to feel the gentility of ego's presence, you don't have to do anything except recognize it. in a sense, honor it. It is the fragment of identity that, in a sense, is you. It's very real. It's a wonderful thing. Being you is extraordinary. It's only not extraordinary when it is overinflated or overly condemning, when it's too much in control. But when it's in balance, and when you are at peace with your whole being, ego is a huge part of that. It's your particular raft or ship that moves through this life. So, rather than make it something you're at war with, it's something you simply learn how to ride. You learn how to enter into it and navigate with it. And then you have this extraordinary craft to move you through the varying streams, rivers, oceans of your day-to-day life. The balance of feeling ego and mind and the infinite all operating simultaneously is an amazingly wonderful state. It is a total acceptance of your being, both your permanence and your impermanence at the same time. To be able to say yes to all that is, to be able to touch and embrace the fact that you are both eternally here and transforming at the same time, that you are being born and dying and infinite simultaneously. That's the wonder of existence. As I am getting older, and it's really a fascinating journey, and watching me, in a sense, start to be on the downward side of things, the loss of things, to feel like a leaf really on a tree that's starting to get brown and shrivel, and knowing at any point it's going to fall off the branch. To know that, as much as that might seem a frightening thing when you're just a green shoot coming out into the existence of that tree, I have to say there's something absolutely wonderful about being on the other end of that, of watching the shriveling taking place and knowing the impermanence and knowing the end is as beautiful as the beginning and that it's all part of the whole. And when you finally really get that and you accept it totally, it is a state of unbearably beautiful joy. You're no longer fighting the life cycle. You're no longer fighting the process. You're no longer fighting life. You are one with it exactly as it is intended to be. It is absolutely beautiful. So, this journey into spiritual maturity is a journey really of learning to let go and let be. Watch what falls away, watch what doesn't. Make peace with the totality of what you are and live in the fullness of what that is, because it is the life you want. This is the life you were born to have. It is the life we're all born to have, and those of us who don't feel that life, it's because we are simply caught in an imbalanced life that is dominated by thought and mind. And when that imbalance is over and balance occurs, life is what it is, and you will be grateful to be there. Any questions?
What's the relationship, if there is any, between love and meditation?
It's really a simple one. When you really let go of mind, and you let go of thought, and you simply enter into this state of being, you enter a place that Sanskrit word is Satchitananda. Satchitananda means truth, consciousness, and bliss. But really the expression that one feels in the middle of that is love. It's just love. And so when you enter into the deepest part of meditation, you find love. And you are an emissary, if you will, of love. You will feel love for yourself and everyone around you in a profound way. You will just feel, it's hard to describe how much you love the people around you, how much you love your own being, and how much you love everything about life, because that is the core truth of your being. And when you're not feeling that, it is a sign, really, that you are caught up in something which is separating you from that, which is ego and mind. So when you relax that, you will feel a natural joy or love of life. The idea of God is love. I mean, it's really, I suspect, every plant out there is feeling it. Every natural life form is feeling it. The only thing that's not is human. And the human being has to get there consciously. That's our job. And you can get there not by trying to love, but by trying to open. And just being open through meditation, just being relaxed, just being present, love will fill you. It's just there. Anyone else? Okay. I had promised in the email that we were going to have brunch today, but my son is flying in from New York, and we're picking him up and taking him to a talk that his wife is giving, and so we don't have time for brunch. And actually leaving in about 10 minutes. So there are cookies downstairs that were brought, and you can, if you're hungry, run in and grab some cookies. Otherwise, we'll save them for next Sunday when there will be brunch. And I apologize. There's good restaurants all over the area. You can run and grab some food and enjoy. But thank you very much for coming today.